Good afternoon. We are so glad to be able to be with you this June the 7th. We are so thrilled to be in your presence, and we hope and pray that you're ready to be able to get the answers to God's Word as we let the Bible speak today. Now's your chance to call in your question to 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. As we've already mentioned, we also have a text line. If you would like to text in your question, that phone is ready as well. If you would want to text, you can text to 725-9283. So go ahead and get your question on the way, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, if you have a question that often comes up and you want material on that, you can go to our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com, and many questions that have been frequent on the broadcast are have been addressed in article form, and you can look through the Bible materials on the website and also be able to download those on and study them in the privacy of your own home and anytime you want to. There's many other resources on there, including the Bible Correspondence Course. And so we encourage you to visit our website at www.BibleAlone.com. And if you have a relative or friend that is out of state or out of the country, anywhere in the world, they also can go to our website right now and hit the live stream button and be able to tune in right now live with us on the radio. They can also text us questions no matter where they're at in the world. I want to encourage you to let the people you know other places that the area code is area code 843. So whether it is voice line or text line, it's area code 843. And we'll be glad to get your question, their question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. You know what's good about this is that you set the topic, you set the theme, you set the information that we're going to be talking about or the subject matter, and God gives the answer as we go to book, chapter, and verse for the answer. Book, chapter, and verse for the answer. So please don't hesitate to call in right now. You can go live over the air, or it can be written down like this first question already, and it be brought into us. It is up to you. You set the topic and theme, but we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Everything we offer on this broadcast is free, so put away your checkbook. Put away your tithes and offering. Do not send us your money. Rather, let us send you the treasure that only God Himself can give, that will never, ever grow old, will never tarnish, nor thieves break through and steal. It will be a treasure that will last in eternity because God Himself gives it. And that's where we'll get it, is from God's Word as we let the Bible speak. So don't miss out. Go ahead and call right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Steve, you have the first question?
Oh, yes, I do. The question, it comes from Matthew chapter 19 and verse 11. So let's turn to that passage together so we all can be on literally the same page. And that always helps us to be able to communicate God's Word together, because we're not depending upon our memory of something said or our think so, or, you know, it's kind of fuzzy. I know it's in there, but we don't know where it is. And so let's go to Matthew 19, verse 11. The context here is interesting because Jesus is asked by the Pharisees about divorce. And Jesus answers and said, well, you know, didn't you know what God said? The man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then Jesus adds this statement, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, then there's a follow-up question. By the way, that was in verses 4 and 5 of Matthew 19. There's a follow-up question about why did Moses then command to give a divorce? And that was a certificate of divorce, which is in Deuteronomy. And Jesus' response in verse 8 is, well, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses permitted divorce. But then Jesus says, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. That's verse 9. Now, the disciples' response to that question is somewhat surprising. They say, If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. That is, the disciples understood, wow, that's kind of restrictive. That's kind of challenging, kind of difficult. And so if marriage is that important and there's only one reason for divorce, then, wow, that's a serious matter. We got to think about that. And then Jesus goes on to comment about that in verse 11. That's the question we have right now. But he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. And so the question was, why can't some people handle this? Well, Jesus goes on to elaborate in verse 12. He said, for there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. So there are three situations. One who would be eunuch, one who could not be in a marriage relationship, could not have the benefit of those that kind of relationship. So there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. There would be what we would call a birth defect. Then there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. That was happened a lot in those days. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, you may have read about him. He was made that way by his king. And then there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. That is, people who have understood the restrictive statements about marriage, and they have, for the kingdom of God's sake, made it were, as it were, themselves eunuchs to be holy and true to God's law of marriage. And so that hopefully will help with that. You guys want to pitch in on that?
Well, just wanted to thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate that. That is a frequent question that comes up. And you might want to consult our website at www.biblealone.com and go to the Bible Materials button on the left-hand side of the page. And we have more material on that question. And so please download that when you get a chance. That's at BibleAlone.com. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. That is the voice line. There's one line available right now, so go ahead and call, but let the phone ring when you get when you get through. Be sure to let it ring, and we'll get to you as quick as we can. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have this text question from the last three digits of 899, and their question is, hello, this is Adam. He says, my question is it okay for Christians to drink? Well, thank you, Adam, for your question. Thank you for your desire to know what the Bible says. And we will go to 1 Peter chapter 4 for the answer. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 3, he says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles. And now he gives a description of what that looked like. When we walked in licentiousness, or some translations put that as lasciviousness, which would be behavior that would cause in sexual enticement, lust, then he says, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties. All three of those are different levels and environments of drinking intoxicants whereby one may be drunken. And it says that we used to spend our lifetime that way. And then he goes on to say abominable idolatries. And then he says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So, Adam, I hope that's helpful to you. That is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2, 3, and 4, which tells us that, no, it's probably not a good idea to be drinking those things that would cause you to become intoxicated to where you lose your self-control. One other passage is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, where Paul says that just because it's lawful does not make it expedient. And he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And then he said, I will not be brought under the power of any. So anything that takes control of us, including if we're intoxicated, we are still responsible. So it's best to flee from those things, just like he said in 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Adam, so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Again, the number, if you have a question that you would like to call in right now, the lines are available. That is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the voice line. Both lines are available right now. You can call in your question. Or if you'd rather text, you can text like Adam's question was. And that text line is 725-9283.
We have a follow-up question on the one on Matthew 19 about the eunuch. And the question here is, describe a eunuch, please. Well, the eunuch, by definition, was literally a bedkeeper or chamberlain. It was a house servant, but not necessarily, but in most cases of what we read in the scriptures, the eunuch was one who had been mutilated, who was also responsible for serving in various kings and queens' courts, and that's what a eunuch was. And so Matthew 9, 12, and 13, 14 talked about different kinds of eunuchs, and so hopefully that is helpful. Well, I'm not sure who sent the question in, but we appreciate your time on that. Ricky?
And if you want more information on it, that's a question you can Google, and you can get all the information you want on it rather than us go into the actual biological functions of those things.
Yeah, we'd rather not do that.
Yeah, so go ahead and just Google it or look in a dictionary. We sure appreciate it. All right, again, it's time for us to take our first break. If you have a question, go ahead and call us right now, 308-9564. We're going to tell you about a correspondence course that we offer and have sent out thousands in this area. So why not you take advantage of this? If you are a new listener and you've never enrolled in this course, why not get it on its way to you right now? All you have to do is to call 553-5157 and leave your name and address, and it will be in the mail this week. It is free. We will never ask for a donation of any kind. Now, isn't that strange? You don't hear that on the radio very often, do you? And so, why not get it on its way to you? You can study this anytime you want to, whenever it's best time for you. If it's morning time when you are the sharpest, then you can study it then, or at nighttime, it'll come in the mail. You can study it. You fill it out. You send it back to us. We grade it and send the next lesson to you. Our next lessons, we'll send the second, third one the second time, and then the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth one, the third mailing. And we are happy to do this absolutely free. So you may discover some things in God's Word that you've never seen before, and those things may prevent you from reaching the heavenly home one day. So that's how important this is. So why not get it in the mail to you, and we will be glad to send it absolutely free. 553-5157. Here's more information on that. If you're already one of our students, you've got the course, then continue with the questions. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
Well, welcome back. We are glad to have you with us today. We are glad to be here. To talk about what the Bible says about whatever question is on your mind, whatever thing is troubling your heart, whatever thing you need to know what God would have you to do. The answers are in His book, the Bible. And so that's all we're doing. We're just, as the program says, let the Bible speak. We're going to turn to a verse and a chapter and in the Bible, and we're going to read just what God says about it. So if you would like to participate in the program today, there are several ways you can do that. You can call the station here. There is a person standing by who is ready to take your question. That number is 308-9564. Then you can also text in your question. That number is 725-9283. And as you've just heard, we have various messages throughout the program concerning a Bible correspondence course that would be so encouraging, so helpful, so instructive, and so enlightening for you, for anybody that wants to know more of what God's Word says. It is, again, much like this program, it is just letting the Bible speak. And so that's so important for you and all of us to take the time to let it speak to our hearts as we open it and study and examine. So that number is 553-5157. So take time now to give a call. Give us your question. If you want to go live on the air, you can do that as well. But this program is devoted to you, the audience. It is devoted to those who are seekers of truth. And so that is, again, so important. The Bible says that it's not within man to direct his own steps. And also says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So those things are very, very important to us to keep in mind when we think about where faith comes from. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So please take the opportunity to join us today with your questions, with your observations, and with your interest in God's word for your life.
Those verses he didn't give the reference to was Proverbs 14 and verse 12 and Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. So that is absolutely very important for us to know that what we see in God's word is what matters, not what man is coming up with or what the preacher or pastor may say, not even what mama says, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. So now's your chance. Call 308-9564. Now's the opportunity because both lines are available. 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and you can call in your question. You can have it written down and brought in to us, or you can go live over the air. The choice is yours. The topic is yours. The theme is yours. But God gives the answer, and we'll give you book, chapter, and verse for those answers. You may discover some things that you've never seen before. Matter of fact, most of the time, I'm thinking of a Bible study we had this week with someone that the Bible student said, you know, I've never seen that before. I've never seen these things. I've studied the Bible all my life. I've read through the Bible, and I've just never seen these things before. And yet, they've been in the Bible the whole time. So, ladies and gentlemen, now's the time to get that knowledge before we meet our Creator one day. Imagine if you're driving down the road and you happen to be chugging along at 55 miles an hour. Policeman pulls you over. And you say, what's wrong, officer? And he says, well, the problem is you were speeding. And you said, I was only going 55. And he says, well, the speed limit was 30. Well, then you'd say, oh, I didn't know that. So he'd probably just say, oh, go on, you have a good day, right? No, not if he's a just officer. He's going to write you a ticket. And so we've got to understand it's best to know what the law is so that we will not be found short when it comes down to the judgment day. And so let's find out what God says now. Let's find out what limits he puts on our lives and what limits he wants us to walk by, and that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven, not the broad path that everybody else is going on. So go ahead and find out the answers right now. Call in your questions. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. The voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are again available, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Yes, we have a question here about divorce due to spousal abandonment. That is, what do you do when your spouse, husband and or wife, leaves you? What does the Bible say about that? Well, there's a couple passages that we can turn to. We've already talked about Matthew chapter 19. And we've mentioned there about the only reason for divorce and remarriage is committing adultery, physical immorality. We'll read that verse again, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." So that is the only reason why someone can divorce and marry another one. But there are some other passages that talk about what you do when someone is abandoning you, and so those passages are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We've got a guest here that's going to help us with that verse. Matt?
Yeah, it's interesting. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is actually beginning the section of the letter in 1 Corinthians 7 in which he's directly responding to the Christians in Corinth and the things that they have written to him or in their correspondence that they have asked of Paul. We have to remember that when we're reading the New Testament, we're actually reading, in large part, a discussion that Paul is having with these churches. Of course, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but we know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote." These are things that they have written to him and have requested to him. They have a lot of the same questions that people have today. And he goes on and he says, "It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." And for the most part, this chapter is actually giving instruction to how we should treat one another within a marriage relationship. And he gives very detailed instructions there. If you'll skip down to verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, "To the rest I say, I not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" And he goes on in a very similar direction there, but I think what Paul is essentially saying there is there are some things in which you, from a practical standpoint, can't do anything about this situation. If the unbelieving spouse departs, he says, you are not enslaved. And so I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that answer.
Well, they are to depart, verse 11 says, "But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and the husband is not to divorce his wife." And so as regarding the question, what about divorce due to a spousal abandonment, Paul would say, well, don't divorce. If they leave, that's
right,
up to them,
right.
But you need to remain unmarried.
We have Janine writing in this question to augment that discussion a little bit. It says, "Can someone remarry if their first spouse is still living?" Janine, there's only three people that can marry, given by God's definition. Someone that's never been married, someone that has lost their mate due to death. That's first Romans chapter 7, verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then the third individual that can marry is someone that has divorced their spouse for the cause of immorality, that is sexual immorality, fornication. That's the third reason that gives someone the right to marry or remarry in this case. And so those are the only three individuals. And for the cause, for that motivation, that is why that person was put away or divorced. And you read about that in Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. You also see it in Mark and Luke and Matthew chapter 5, 32. It makes it very clear, the Bible makes it clear, that that is the only thing that would allow someone the right to remarry. That's in Matthew 5, 32 and Matthew 19. Janine, thank you for your question, and thank all of you for this. And again, I know that is a very, very difficult situation because of the decisions we've made, but it is necessary to understand that it is God that joins a man and woman in marriage. It is not what the law says. It's not what the popular vote is. It is God's definition. He instituted marriage, and he's the one that joins a husband and wife together. And again, I emphasize husband and wife, that is opposite genders in this equation as well today. And so we want to make certain that we are trying to show ourselves approved unto God and no one else, because he's going to have the final say when it is all said and done. So hopefully that brings that subject to closure, and we will go on after the break to the next subject. And if you have a question that you would like to ask on the radio today, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd rather text, you can text at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are glad to have you join us again, and we are grateful that you have had the opportunity today to join us. As I said before, we are glad to be here. We are thankful to God for being here. And you just heard about this Bible correspondence course that we talk about every week, and we indicate that it is such a blessing. Here's why it's important. We've already talked about some passages in the Old Testament that says it's not within man to direct his own steps. That's in Jeremiah 20:23. Then Proverbs 14:12, it says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. So we've got a choice that we have to make. We can either go through this life kind of going and making decisions by our gut and how we feel and those kinds of things and our own wisdom, or we can look to God and his wisdom. I mean, he is the creator, he is the sustainer of all things, and he is the one who is going to hold us accountable for our actions. Jesus says, the words that I speak into you are words of truth, and they are the words that will judge us in the last day. And the passage in Psalms 119, totally dedicated to the Word of God, has some really, really encouraging things in there as well. It tells us that the Word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. That is, the Word of God is our guide through this life. You ever made a decision that you knew was not the right decision, wasn't being faithful to God, and boy, things just kind of went downhill after that? You know, we need to be able to let God shine His light on our paths, on our decisions, on our choices. And he will illuminate whether it's a good or a bad decision. We also know in Psalms 119, verse 111, that I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you struggle in your life with temptation, with sin? Well, you know, what the Bible says is that it will keep us from that. We hide it in our heart. We won't sin against God. So that's the reason why this Bible correspondence course is so, so important. Kind of an introductory level, you might say, to having the benefit of God's Word, free from any kind of entanglement with man's teaching, free from any kind of restrictions of man's creeds, but just simply and purely the gospel of God. That sounds like a winner. So please avail yourself the opportunity to take that Bible correspondence course. If you want to call us here at the station and ask us a question, 308-9564 is the number here at the station. You can also text us at 725-9283. And remember that number, 553-5157, is for the Bible correspondence course. You would just be helping yourself a great bit if you would call that question and sign up for that course today. So, again, give us a call, 308-9564, or text us, 725-9283.
So don't miss out on getting your question in today. We have a lot of people that call in, and they tend to pile up at the end of the program. So now's your chance to jump in with your question if you would like to have it answered on today's broadcast. The number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Now, we've noticed a number of you have enrolled in the course already, and so please don't if you've entertained the idea, go ahead and call right now. That number for the free Bible correspondence course is 553-5157. And we will let the Bible speak through the course, and you'll be able to find the answers through that means. We're glad to be able to share it with you. We have Linda calling in this question. She wants to know concerning Genesis chapter 32, was Jacob wrestling with God? And when you look at that passage, it makes it very clear that it was God it says that they wrestled with God in that passage. And so when you look at that, okay, well, how could he live and wrestle with God? And also in the context, it implies it is an angel. And so, but verse 28 says, he says, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And so there it implies that it is God. So now that's confusing, isn't it? Well, it's not really confusing. When you look in the New Testament, Jesus is confronted with this question as well. In John chapter 14 and verse 9, after they wanted to know the Father, show us the Father in verse 8, Jesus says, "Have I been with you so long and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, and the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work?" And all the way through these chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, we see him even in praying in chapter 17, where he says that he and the Father are working together and beckons us also to be one with them. He says, "Neither I pray for these alone, but that but those who shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And so there we can see that they work together. You can't separate those. So when you look at what's going on there in Genesis 32, God's agents, in that case, it was an angel. In Moses' day, it was an angel, but yet they struggled or were hearing directly from God as well. And so when they're representing God, it is God that they are struggling with. And so, Linda, hopefully that is helpful to you, whether it was an angel. The only time an angel would not be representing God when it would be the devil's angels, and of course they are already been cast down to earth and condemned. And so, Linda, I hope that's helpful to you. We really can't separate those things, especially when they're representing God himself. So thank you so much. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. Matt, I think you've got the next question.
Sure. I've got a question from Mr. Van Hannigan. It says, "How many different types of circumcision are there? What's the difference between circumcision and uncircumcision?" Well, biblically, we could look to the Old Testament, to the law of Moses, and we could see that circumcision was an act that God expected of his people throughout the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, the question of circumcision, physical circumcision, is something that dominates the pages of the New Testament. It was the relationship between Jewish people and Gentile people. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 15, I just want to set the stage here a little bit. Paul is actually going into different cities, which are comprised some Jewish people, some Gentile people, and you've got different types of people who are obeying the gospel and coming under the cross and becoming Christians. From a social ethnic standpoint, that creates some tension. A lot of Jews had a feeling of superiority, and they tried to tell Gentiles, in order for you to really become children of God, you need to obey the gospel, be baptized, but you also need to become circumcised. We know that because in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "Some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question." That whole chapter, Acts 15, this council at Jerusalem, is about this question. Do Gentiles, who normally would not do the physical act of circumcision, do they have to be circumcised in order to be saved? And the gospel tells us, in fact, that no, that's not a requirement for God's people to be physically circumcised. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 2, I think this really speaks to this question, how many different types of circumcision are there? Paul speaks in Romans chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter, about what he calls circumcision of the heart. And I want us to pay attention to the argument he uses. He says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 25, "For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision." What Paul is saying there is, if you want to be circumcised and say that your salvation is based on the fact that you have perfectly performed the law of Moses and you are circumcised, then that's great as long as you are fully sticking to and adhering to the law of Moses. But he says, if you break the law, your circumcision is of no more value. And that's the point that he's making the end of this chapter. But if you skip down to verse 28, he says, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. And so Paul does seem to draw a distinction there between, on the one hand, you have a literal physical act of circumcision, but Paul also says the children of God are the ones who obey him and who submit ourselves completely to him and his will, and we have been circumcised of the heart, which is indeed of much more value. I don't know if that speaks to the exact question that you're asking. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that.
Yeah, there's another passage in Colossians 2, 11 and following that talk about the circumcision of Christ. And he qualifies that in verse 11 by saying, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So there's an interesting passage about circumcision of Christ, not made without hand, and made without hands, but it takes away the sins of our flesh by being buried with him in baptism, which is a work of God or an operation of God, the King James says. So,
So it's not that all physical acts of obedience are removed from the equation, because we can see there from Colossians 2 that is indeed circumcision. Right. So, yeah.
All right, we have just a minute for our next break. I think I can answer this. So we have two questions. One is a text from the number 113. Their question is about, again, marriage, divorce, remarriage for fornication. And then also Charles writes in, says, what are we to do if our spouse leaves us and we don't know where they are at or whether they are dead or alive? Well, Charles, I would find out, because that is God is the one that joins us together, and it is we can't break that. That is Matthew chapter 19, verse 6. So then let no one, they are no longer two, but one. And what God hath joined together, let no man separate. And so we've got to make certain whether we are joined to someone or not. And God is the only one that can make certain whether that is a case. Now, if they're alive, then you've got to deal with Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 and see how fornication enters into that. If they are dead, then the answer is answered in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. So hopefully that will be helpful to those two questions. It's time for us to take our next break. Please know that the information we're about to tell you is absolutely free to tell you about. We'll send it in the mail to you this week. It is a free course of study where you can study at your own timetable at any time you would like. Just fill it out and send it back into us, and we will send the next lessons to you, and then it'll be back and forth. We've had people to go through as many as 25 different courses, and so you can continue as long as you like in studying God's Word. And so please don't miss out on this. It is absolutely free. All you have to do is call 553-5157, and if you are a careful student, you will discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before, and it becomes a treasure because it will change you forever. Don't miss out on it. Here's the information about it. If you have a question, continue with the questions. We will go to the Bible for the answer, 308-9564. There's one line available, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We hope that you were listening carefully to that message about the Bible Correspondence Course. It will be such a great blessing for you, and we keep saying that because it's really true, that the Bible can always, always bless you. It can always open your eyes to things you haven't seen. For instance, have you ever been reading the Bible and you're going, oh, I never saw that before? That ever happened to you? Well, it happens to me all the time. Well, you may be thinking, well, I've studied the Bible. I know what the Bible says. But you can always learn something new, and especially from this course, which it doesn't limit itself to any one particular doctrinal approach. It just is the Bible. And that can be so free. You know, when Jesus said, you should know the truth, and truth shall make you free, one of the things that makes you free from is free from the blinders that man's teaching has placed upon the messages that you hear from Sunday to Sunday. And so just avail yourself this opportunity to read and study the Bible in its purity and simplicity. You know, Paul warned about the devil blinding the minds of people. Let's not let that happen. Let's just let the Word of God speak to our hearts as we can open it and see it in black and white, which is exactly what we're doing here today. If you would like to participate, give us a call, 308-9564, or you can text us, 725-9283. And while you're listening to other people's questions, slip away a little bit and dial 553-5157 and sign up for that Bible correspondence course yet today. Ricky?
Yes, we have a text calling in this question from the last three digits of 135. They want to know, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Well, good question. I was looking at our website, and I thought for sure I had put something on our website about that, but for your benefit and all of those of you that are interested in this, I will do my best to get that on our website, which is www.biblealone.com, and you can download that anytime you want. I'll give you a list of scriptures on that. I'll touch on that right now, so hopefully you've got paper, pencil ready to write some of this down. There's a great deal in the New Testament about this subject. You can imagine if you were a Jew and how your whole heritage, your life, your government, and everything permeated around this, and when they became a child of God, that all changed. And thus, the Old Testament became fulfilled. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, Matthew chapter 5. And so he did that. It was fulfilled like a scaffolding, and thus he came to establish the new. You can look in Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. There it talks about Old Testament and New Testament. And most people understand a last will and testament is something that goes into effect when the testator dies, and it actually discusses it there in Hebrews. And thus, when Christ died, the New Testament went into effect. But you ask what the difference is, and I'm going to direct you to Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 23. It says, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith that would be afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And so it was the purpose to bring Christ through that law, so that we now can be justified by faith, be one of his children. And then in verse 28, he just nails it down. He says, therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. For if you are, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, that is, if you belong to him, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, you also want to look at Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way through verse 17. You can see that that old law was just a shadow of things to come, and that old law was nailed to his cross, verse 14. So that's Colossians 2, 14 through 17. You want to read that as well. So that was just to bring Christ, to prepare the way, just like John the Baptist. And once Christ came, once his law was established, we now must obey God through the will of Christ. Oh, one more passage, Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. So make certain you read that as well. Thank you so much for your question. We are thrilled that you have a desire. And I'll do my best to try and get that on our website this week as well for all of you that would like to download that and be able to see in practical time what God says in your Bible. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. The lines are available, 308-9564. That's the voice line, and you can have your question written down and brought into us. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Steve, you have the next question.
Yeah, so Linda has called back again, and Linda, I can appreciate your question. She again was asking about Jacob and the angel, and she asked, when Jacob said, I have seen God face to face, does that mean it was actually God or just an angel? You know, we read passages like this and we're going, okay, well, how do I make the distinction here? And that is really typical of the Old Testament when God seeks to interact with mankind. I'll give you a passage that Ricky had referred to earlier with Moses. And it's the burning bush, and so that is, I think, a familiar event to a lot of people. And when the bush was burning, verse 2 of Exodus 3, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked up, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Well, there it says, the angel of the Lord. And then in verse 4 it says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Well, this passage, like the one in Genesis 32 with Jacob, both the angel and God are mentioned. Again, how do we make sense of that? Well, it's difficult sometimes to really get our head around that, but that seems to be that the angel was used by God to be his representative and to speak through him. And if God spoke through him, it's the same as God speaking, because the angel was doing so by the authority of God. So he was acting as an agent or as a minister of God. And the similar thing is said in Hebrews 1:14, that the angels are God's ministering servants sent about to help those who inherit salvation. So God uses these angels, and so the idea of wrestling with an angel was, and this is typical too, as we see in Jacob, that you know they've seen God, they've seen a manifestation of God, seems to be the idea. So I hope that helps, Linda, with trying to get a handle on that a little bit. Sometimes we just have to read what the Bible says and just go with that.
Now's your chance to get your question in, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Both lines are available. You can join us right now. You can have your question written down, or if you'd like, you can go live on the air. The choice is yours. The subject is yours. The topic is yours. But we'll go to the Bible for the answer, and we make no apology for that. Why? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, that is 2,000 years ago, let him be accursed. So that's why we're going to go to the Bible for the answer, because we don't want to be cursed. We don't want you trusting us. Please do not trust us. Matter of fact, if we say something and it is not with book, chapter, and verse, stop us. Call us up. Rebuke us. Let us know. You did not show me that in the Bible. We will apologize and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. That's how determined we are to make certain that we let the Bible speak. So if you have a question, go ahead and call right now. We'll go to the Bible for the answers, and thus we'll be able to see what God says. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know most churches today are restricted from telling you the whole truth and from telling you the nothing but the truth? And the reason is because they must operate within the box that defines their denominational church. They have to operate within those parameters, or they are no longer one of those people. Do you want to have that kind of restriction on you? Those that teach and preach from the pulpit, those of you that may even heard the preaching today, they selected and only were able to teach those things that were sanctioned by the leaders of that said denomination. Let's make certain that we get out of that box and find the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Go ahead and enroll in the correspondence course that we're about to tell you about, and it will reveal some of those truths that are not being spoken of in the throughout the land today. There will be some things that you may have never seen before, and some of those things, if we leave this life without obeying those things, we will be in eternal trouble. So please, do yourself a favor. Find out what God says, especially on how we should prepare about leaving this life so that there will be no surprises when we stand before the God of the universe, the judge, one day. Go ahead and get this course to you. Here's information on that. It is 553-5157. Or if you have a question about what some of those things are, you can call us right now here at the station. We're live. The number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we'll let the Bible speak.
Thanks for joining us again. We have about 30 minutes, actually less, just slightly less than 30 minutes left in the program. We still got time for you to send in a question, either to call it in, and that number is 308-9564, or you can text it in, and that number is 725-9283. So there's still plenty of time. Give us a call. Give us your question. We'll go to the Bible, and we'll find the answer. And you've still got time. In fact, you got a lot of time to sign up for that Bible correspondence course. You can do it through the program today by dialing 553-5157. Even after we're off the air, you can still call that number and sign up for that Bible correspondence course. You'll probably hear our daily Bible study, and at the end, you'll be able to sign up for a Bible correspondence course. So don't delay. And I just said you got a lot of time. You may not have a lot of time. We don't have any idea when the Lord will come. That's why all of those parables about being ready. Yes, we've got to be ready. It'd be like a thief in the night. You never know when that's going to happen. So please, as you're thinking about it right now, now's the time to call 553-5157, and please sign up for that correspondence course. And so now let's go to our other questions that we have had. And Ricky, what you got?
We have a question from the last three digits of 135, and their question is, why was tithing enforced in the Old Testament and not in the New Testament? Well, we're going to answer that by turning to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2, and we'll see what God has to say about that. Tithing was certainly enforced in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, it was penalized by death. How many of you have been put to death today because of lack of tithing? If you know of that, you can call in and tell us about that. I don't think that has occurred, at least to my knowledge, but that was something that was enforced in the Old Testament. So you're right to say it was enforced in the Old Testament, but that is not the law that we live under now. Now we live under law to Christ. The passage we referenced earlier was Colossians chapter 2, beginning with let's start with verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink, regarding festival, regarding new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So that law, including tithing, was part of the shadow of things of Christ. Now, instead of compelling people to give, forcing people to give under penalty of law, or as many of you hear probably on a weekly basis, under penalty of Malachi's curse. Yeah, that resonates, doesn't it? No, that Malachi is part of the Old Testament. Now, the New Testament, God's law, Christ's law, where man used to live by the fathers and the prophets, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, now we must listen to God by his Son. Now, what does the Son tell us that we're to give? Well, 1 Corinthians 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up, as he prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now we're to give as we're prospered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're to give cheerfully. We're supposed to give bountifully. But nowhere does it say 10%. Nowhere does it say you've got to turn in your tax form in order to be able to be regulated or to be monitored about this. Ladies and gentlemen, nowhere does God tell us to line up in $20 lines and $50 lines and $100 lines. And if you have experienced that or you're part of something like that, ladies and gentlemen, you are being abused. You are being restricted by something that is totally foreign to what God would have you to be part of. Don't allow yourself to be abused as that. Let's just be what Christ wants us to be. And thus, we're able to... God's way is perfect. It is clear, and it is easy what the Lord asks of us today. And the benefits, my friends, are out of this world. And so let's make certain that we put our treasure up in heaven by doing it according to His instructions and not what man has put together by just pulling a verse out of here and there in the Old Testament and trying to drain you of all of the wealth that you have so that they can live high and mighty or build some kind of edifice to make a name in the community. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, guess how many church buildings there are in the New Testament? Yeah, you're thinking about that, aren't you? Okay, you got it. There were none. That says something, doesn't it? What does most of that money that's being drug out of you go toward? Yeah, there we go again. That's something to think about, isn't it? Well, let's serve the Lord. Let's do it on His terms, in His direction, in the way that He wants us to, because He's the one that's going to have the final say in it all. If you have a question about this or some other, go ahead and call right now. And by the way, you can go to our website and get a thorough rundown of what the Bible says about tithing throughout the Old Testament. One more surprise that you may be surprised at, and that is tithing was not money. That really causes a problem, doesn't it? Go ahead and download that article from our website, and you'll see a full rundown of what the Old Testament says about tithing in the Old Testament and what they were supposed to do with it and what it was for. That website is www.biblealone.com. And then go to the Bible Materials button, and you will find those articles about tithing and what they were. Again, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Steve?
You know, I've got a question, Ricky.
All right.
You said something about the tithing being punished by death. You know a Bible verse that tells us that?
No, I didn't. Did you look it up?
No, I was trying to, and
the one that was collected, the one that collected sticks on the Sabbath day, he was put to death.
Okay, I know generally that was kind of the punishment for not keeping the law, and I was wondering if there was a specific passage that mentioned tithing. I thought that would be real interesting to look at. So
we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. So if anybody's out there got that handy, we'll be glad to look at that. But for those of us others who maybe already have a question in mind and would like to look at what the Bible says about it, whether it's about tithing or anything else that the Bible talks about, or it's a question that you have about your life, your relationship with God, some decision that you're facing, you want to make sure that it's in the will of the Lord to make that decision, then, you know, those are the kinds of questions that we need the answers to. And you may have the question in your mind that's kind of been floating around there, and you may be hesitant to ask it. For every question, there's probably 50, 60, 100 people maybe that have that same question, that are facing that same situation in life. And so not only would you be doing a service for yourself, but you may be serving others as well. So we encourage you to take the time to be bold to ask that question. Our soul salvation may well depend upon what the answer to that question is, especially as we look at the Scripture. So if you can give us a call, 308-9564, that comes in here to the station. You can text us at 725-9283. And again, as we've talked about this Bible correspondence course and all the benefit that is to that, give us a call at 553-5157. Matt?
The reference we were looking for earlier about the man that was put to death before gathering sticks on the Sabbath day is Numbers chapter 15, beginning with verse 32. It says, "While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses on Aaron and all the congregation, and they put him under guard because it had been explained that what was done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. And all the congregation stoned him to death with stones outside the camp. And the Lord commanded Moses, and all the congregation brought to him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died." So he was cut off, and their cut off meant being stoned to death because they did not keep the law of Moses. And so that was under a category of not presumptuous, but intentional sins. And so when they did not do the law of God, that was a death penalty under that law. They were serious about it.
You know, I was thinking of the passage, too, about the curses on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, that there are so many things that are kind of lumped in together. They're specifically mentioned. And I wonder if it's in one of those contexts. But
all right.
They can't qualify it.
Good question. We have Janine asking this question. Says, if someone has the gift of speaking in tongues, is it useless if there is no interpreter? We're going to answer that question in just a moment after our last break. We want you to know that while we are at break, keep your questions coming in. We will go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564, that's the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. We'll be right back. We are back live now. This is your last chance to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. If you have not enrolled in that, then you are depriving yourself of a blessing. And if you've already enrolled and you just let it collect dust and didn't fill it out, again, you are depriving yourself of the eternal blessing that God Himself can give you. Studying the Bible for yourself builds faith, and that faith comes from the Word of God, and that is powerful. If we believe what God says, we practice what God says, we put it into action and become doers of God's Word and not hearers only, then that is power. I'm not talking about power to take over the world. It is power to get our lives under control and power to have a hope of eternal life with God in heaven. Are you making yourself powerless because you're not getting the power that God Himself can give? It brings out in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek." So, my friends, let's let God work powerfully in our lives. Why not study the Word for yourself? Get that course on the way to you. It is free. You have nothing to lose but darkness and treasure to gain that will never be taken away from you. As long as we serve the Lord, that will be an eternal treasure, that will be a blessing, and it is such a wonderful blessing to be able to serve the Lord. So call 553-5157, get that to you. I don't care if you have studied the Bible all your life. There are things that are being hidden. I study with preachers quite often, and they themselves say, you know, I don't know how I miss that. So why not see what it is you're missing in God's Word? Call 553-5157 and study that through that course, and you will see many things that will be of great benefit to you. Studying for yourself will have that kind of faith. Why not remove the blinders that the wicked one, the devil, has put on us, and see the truth for yourself, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. One more time, go ahead and get it on the way to you right now, and just simply call 553-5157, and it will be in the mail this week. Before the break, we mentioned that Janine had called in this question. If someone has the gift of speaking in tongues, is it useless if there is no interpreter? Matt, what do you think about that? Or what does the Bible say about that?
Sure. Well, I think the reason so many people have questions, one reason so many people have questions about speaking in tongues is because that is something that we find occurring in the New Testament. It's in the pages of Scripture. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 2, this is the first time we see something like this happening. The Holy Spirit, this is what's known as the Day of Pentecost, and Peter is about to preach the first apostolic sermon in Acts chapter 2 and encourage all of those who are listening to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. But before that happens, we see in Acts chapter 2 in verse 3, the Holy Spirit falls on them, and in verse 3, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Notice in that verse it says, there are people from all over the place. They shouldn't be understanding one another, but because the Holy Spirit is there, and they're speaking in these tongues, they're all hearing and understanding in their own language. The point that we would make about this passage is that in Acts chapter 2, when they are directly filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are speaking in tongues, the purpose is not for confusion. In other words, it's not one person standing up and speaking in a tongue and no one else understands what the person is saying. The Holy Spirit is speaking through them and allowing other people to understand. There's actually clarity and understanding here. Now, I'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. I think this will directly answer the question. The question is, I don't know if Ricky still has that. Is this the, if someone has the gift of speaking in tongues, is it useless if there isn't an interpreter? Well, the direct answer to that question is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And if you'll look in verse 27, if any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. And so in Corinth, Paul is giving them specific instruction about having orderly and edifying worship services, and he directly says to them, if someone has this gift from the Holy Spirit in the first century church, and there's no one there to interpret to the rest of the congregation, then it's pointless. The person needs to sit and remain silent. Now, we can also see things in the New Testament. Actually, if you just skip back one chapter to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a lot of this surrounds the question of, are speaking in tongues, in the New Testament sense, even still around today? Are people actually inspired by the Holy Spirit in the way they are in the church at Corinth and in the New Testament? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's known as the love chapter, Paul says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And there are a lot of questions about that passage, but it seems to point to some sort of temporal aspect to speaking in tongues in the New Testament. And so I would say that the answer to this question just directly is, yes, Paul seems to say that in the first century church, if there was no one there to interpret, then there is no speaking in tongues under the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Oh, good job. Appreciate that. We've got a few minutes left. You want to give us a call, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283. We've got a question here about why don't pastors preach about end times and the book of Revelation? Well, you'd have to ask them about that. I'm not sure. But I looked up the word end times, and the only time the word end times came up in my search was at headings that translators have put in the verses of the Bible. But I know what folks are thinking about that. They're thinking about things that Jesus said in Matthew 24 or Luke 21 about the signs of things about to take place. But notice and read that with kind of an open mind, and notice that what Jesus says about nations and earthquakes and famines and pestilence and all those things that people get all excited about, that Jesus was asking this about a particular question concerning Jerusalem. So in verse 20 of Luke 21, he says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." This was on Jerusalem. And so it's not wise to take passages out of context and apply them to modern day situations when Jesus applied it to the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened, by the way, in 70 AD. So we appreciate that question. It's always good to study and preach about the book of Revelation, because those things have taken place, and blessed are those who see and hear and read that book. Ricky?
Matter of fact, next question is dealing with, and we're going to Revelation for the answer. Their question is Daniel 12 and verse 2. Is it talking about a double resurrection of good and bad? Daniel 12, 2 says this, "And many of those who slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Well, when we go to the book of Revelation, we'll see the explanation of that in this symbolic book. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works and by the things that are written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And so there you can see the explanation of that, however you visualize that yourself. And hopefully that has been of benefit to you. We want to thank all of the people that participated in today's broadcast and called in these questions. And those of you that enrolled in the Bible correspondence courses, we are so excited that you have shown such an interest in studying God's Word. We sure appreciate your desire to know the truth and your want to be able to find the answers that God would have you to find. Let's not leave this life without seeing what God has for us in heaven. And we need to be prepared for that. He will not give us that on our terms. He wants to give us heaven on His terms. After all, He's the Lord, He's the King, and we've got to follow His will. He says, "Why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say?" He also said in Matthew 7, 21, 22, 23, that some were going to stand before Him, and He was going to say, "I do not know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Thus, we've got to know what the law says, know what God expects, and then we'll be able to show ourselves approved unto Him as we do what He says. That makes Him Lord of our life. Not unless we're obeying Him, though. We've got to obey Him and His will. So go ahead and get the course on the way to you. Here's more details on that. And until next week, we want to say thank you very much for your interest in the truth as we have let the Bible speak.